Kildare Today with Clem Ryan.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Dublin City Coroner's Court was told yesterday that outstanding issues surrounding the provision of legal aid for the families of those killed in the Stardust fire have now been resolved and that inquests into the fire can now move ahead. As we have covered so frequently over the years on this programme, 48 people died, more than 200 were injured when a fire ripped through the Stardust nightclub in Artane in Dublin on the night of the 14th of February 1981. The families have campaigned for inquests into the deaths to be resumed, but argued that the cost of legal representation at the hearings would preclude them from taking part. Let's hear what the developments are. We'll speak to a woman who lost two sisters in the fire and indeed was caught up in the conflagration herself in a few minutes' time. But first, solicitor at Phoenix Law, who is representing the majority of Stardust families, Dara Mackin. Good morning, Dara. Thank you for joining us. Dara, we spoke to you over the years about this. We've spoken to Antoinette over the years about it and others as well. At long last, there's a bit of progress in terms of the situation. What happened yesterday and what was handed down?
I think that's right. You know, finally, there is light at the end of the tunnel. As many will know, there was considerable delays as a result of issues with regards to legal aid funding, whereby families were being treated differently than others, and then there was a restriction imposed whereby council couldn't have been instructed, which would have put the families at a fundamental disadvantage compared to the other parties in the proceedings. That has finally been resolved, and the disclosure process has now begun, and it's welcome news yesterday that the coroner is now aiming to commence the formal inquest in October later this year.
Now, just to reflect on developments up to now, Dara, before we come back to what next, for example, a tribunal of inquiry was originally set up by the government in this, and it concluded the blaze was probably caused by arson. Now, that particular decision had implications from a legal perspective, did it not? Because if the fire was caused by arson, it brought it into the criminal spectrum area.
That's right, and even more importantly, the finding of arson sought to criminalise those families who lost loved ones and other individuals who were in attendance that night. But what's probably the most stark reality of all of this is that we have a situation whereby an inquiry comes to a conclusion that it was probably arson without any evidential basis for doing so. We then have a review very many years later which concludes that conclusion was wrong and that it should be removed from the findings. And then we have a further review which comes to the conclusion that the case put forward by the families and the evidence put forward by the families actually points to a fundamentally different conclusion, namely that the fire could have originated in the roof space. And the reality is the reason behind the inquest more generally is that we have a situation where we've had failed investigation after failed investigation. We have serious concerns about cover-up, and the reality is that there has been no firm conclusion reached as to what occurred at the Stardust. It's for those reasons this inquest is extremely important, to finally correct the narrative and to identify and establish the truth and the circumstances as to what happened that night.
It's quite incredible that 40 years on, a conflagration that saw 40 people lose their lives, the 48 people lose their lives, hundreds more scarred for life, and hundreds and potentially thousands of family members, relatives, all psychologically scarred by this, that we still haven't reached a full resolution of the case. I mean, in September 2019, the Attorney General ordered that new inquests be conducted into the deaths of the 48 victims. Here we are in 2021, and the families had to go to campaign to get legal aid to allow them to be represented at these inquests. Just to summarise again, what yesterday's decision now means?
Yesterday's decision now means that, as you've rightly pointed out, after many years of campaigning and very many obstacles being imposed in the family's way, we are finally at the end of the tunnel. insofar as the inquest will now formally commence. The investigations, the hearings, the evidence will now formally commence later this year. Now, that is a very welcome development when you consider it against the backdrop that you've helpfully outlined, which is that these families have had to fight tooth and nail for 40 years to get to this stage. It's in many ways depressing and disheartening that it's taken so long to get to this point. However, we have seen from other examples, such as the Hillsborough inquest, or more recently here in Belfast, the Ballymurphy inquest, whereby even many years later, when the proper mechanisms are put in place, the proper investigative bodies are put in place, the truth can be established and the families can be vindicated. And it's exactly on that model that we hope and look forward to the hearings later this year.
And no date has been set for those inquests to resume or to begin?
The date has been set for October later this year.
Oh, it has been set for October. Okay. Dara Macken, thank you, Dara Macken of Phoenix Law in Belfast, who's representing the majority of the Stardust families. That's very happy news indeed. And we can let Dara go if he wishes, or he can listen online to Antoinette. Keegan was in the ballroom when the fire broke out. She escaped, but her two sisters, Mary and Martina, Mary was only 19, Martina was only 16, both died in the Stardust tragedy. Sadly, Antoinette's mother, Christine, died in July of last year after campaigning for decades for a new inquiry into the fire. She didn't live long enough to hear this good decision handed down yesterday. Let's indeed say a very good morning to Antoinette Keegan. Good morning, Antoinette. We spoke to you shortly after your mother had died, and indeed we have spoken to you on various occasions over the years about the tragedy that befell you and all those other people and the ongoing campaign. 40 years on, Antoinette Keegan, do you finally see some light at the end of the tunnel?
I do, yeah. As Sarah said, we can finally see light at the end of the tunnel, and it's an absolute disgrace, and it's a shame that the Irish state has left us in this situation. There's families that passed away, like my mother, my father, and other family members, right, like parents that have passed away without seeing their day of truth and justice for their loved ones. And we just hope now that this is no more undue delay, and that we can finally make a move, right? And we have a great team of Solicitor Darren Macken from Phoenix Law and all the barristers, right? An excellent team. Darren has selected and experts and everything else. So we finally feel that we're confident now, right, that this is the final road and we are going to achieve the results, right, and we're going to get the truth for what happened that night.
For the 48 victims, the hundreds who have been scarred for life, and the hundreds and hundreds more who have been psychologically scarred by what happened to their relations, family members, siblings and so forth. Now, yesterday was the fourth pre-inquest hearing into the 48 victims of this disaster. It was held in the RDS yesterday, and in the first pre-inquest hearing, the coroner, Dr. Myra Cullinan, who presided yesterday, stressed that these inquests will be entirely fresh inquiries and will not be bound by the findings of any other investigation. That is very encouraging for you, is it not, Antoinette?
It is. It's actually really good news, because in all the previous inquiries that we've had, there were, as Darren said, there were whitewashes, cover-ups, and nothing came out, and they were all inconclusive. And there was no, like, we have had no verdict for 40 odd years now, and no cause of death. And last year, we're going to actually have a verdict of what happened to our loved ones.
Yeah, and on the coroner, Dr. Mary Cullinan, also said yesterday at the inquest that a significant amount of work had been undertaken by her team with experts in the areas of fire investigation, forensic pathology and forensic toxicology already instructed in this regard. And also good news, she said, that family members will be allowed to deliver what she calls pen portraits of your loved ones who were lost, like your sisters Martine and Mary.
Yeah, well, we have ours done, and to be honest with you, Clem, right, it was very, very difficult to do, because it was impossible, like actually putting pen to paper and describing your loved ones, what they wanted to achieve, what their ambitions was in life, what they achieved, what they wanted to be, and, like, what their life would have been like. Like, we could have I could have more nieces and nephews, and my mom and dad would probably still be alive, like, if this child has never happened.
And I
like
know
the love of the parents.
Yeah, I know it seems like a cliche, but your sister Mary, 19, and Martina, 16, as that song about World War One always said, you know, forever 19, forever 16, in your eyes.
But in their short lives, they both achieved so much, right, and they were both very intelligent. Martina, like, was beautiful looking. She was a real Marilyn Monroe. Mary was, like, very, very intelligent. She actually won a lot of awards. And she was going on further in life.
There were 48 people whose lives were snuffed out and indeed never got to fulfil their potential in most cases. And 40 years on, you're still as determined to see the outcome that will do justice to all those people who lost their lives and were so badly injured.
Absolutely, Clem. We never give up. Never. Because the truth be told, until the truth is told, we don't get closure. And we have to keep going and going, and that's what my ma's last wish was, right, not to give up, to keep fighting this.
Well, Winston Churchill said his motto in life was never, ever, ever, ever give up. And certainly, yeah. Antoinette Keegan, you and those others who've been campaigning over 40 years for justice for the 48 victims who died, at long last, hopefully, there is closure in sight in regards to this. Listen, it's great, and thank you for taking the call again. And we're all delighted, and everybody will share at least the hopes now that you will finally get closure on this, Antoinette.
Thank you very much, Clem.
All right, thank you for talking to us again. That's Antoinette Keegan, as we said. Her mother, Christine, died in July 2020 at the age of 84, having campaigned for nearly 39 years to see justice for her daughters, Mary, 19, and Martina, 16. And indeed, Antoinette was caught up in the fire herself on that particular occasion. Thank you so much, Antoinette. And before that, Dara Mackin, solicitor for Phoenix Law on the case. The inquests will begin in October of this year, and we will return to that topic. Up next, we're going to the Selbridge-Leixlip Municipal District, and time permitting, we'll have a look at the CSO monthly unemployment at Kildare Labour Force figures for quarter one 2021.
Kildare Today with Clem Ryan.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
You know, there'll be many listening to us, and the fire at the Stardust all of those years ago will just seem 40 years ago. On Valentine's night, will just be like something out of a history book. But for anybody who lived through it, we all recall how we sat in front of our televisions and tried to grasp the horror of what happened to these people, with fire doors allegedly locked, chains on them and so on. And the survivors always maintaining that the fire began in the roof area, and that it wasn't arson, because that would have precluded basically pursuing the legal avenues that the survivors want to pursue on behalf of their loved ones. And Councillor Ida Cusson of the Selbridge-Leixlip Municipal District. Good morning, Ida.
Good morning, Ken.
That you would have been brought up maybe in an area not too far from Coolock and that.
Actually, Clem, I was born, I moved out there when I was three, I think, out to Bonnybrook, which is the parish where your last lady, Antoinette, I lived just on one of the roads beside her there in Bonnybrook, in Coolock indeed, yeah. Gosh, I remember well, and it's the kind of thing you'll never forget. It was a fire, and so many of our young people, our friends, you know, neighbours, children you were in school with, the shopping centre where you worked, so many of the staff weren't there the next morning, you know. Super Quinn, for example, would have had, you know, quite a number of young staff there that would have gone, like all my friends school friends would have gone to the Stardust of a Friday night, and then Saturday morning, like, my parents would have been very involved in community. My father and my sister were involved with the GAA club. My dad founded the Kilmore GAA club. We would have gone to bed at some hour of the night and then got up the morning to children knocking on the door asking, were we all okay? That kind of thing, because there was no mobile phones. There was nothing like that. It was everybody, you know, word of mouth, knocking doors, that kind of thing. So, I suppose I'd just like to say I remember Antoinette's sister, her youngest sister, Martina, for example. I was actually doing the post-leaving cert secretariat course at the time, and Martina was doing the post-intercert, I think that's what they were called, and we would have had a shared classroom at different stages in the week, and that the Friday morning we were all there, and you know, we would be chatting before class, and you might remember Clem, Ultravox Vienna, that song.
Oh great, yes.
I only ever hear that and remember this, and we were all saying it should have been number one, and it wasn't, because one of these other songs had knocked it off the number one position, and the girls were all excited that we're going to the Stardust that night. And just remember, Martina, in that context, we were all, you know, the girls was all chatting, that kind of stuff. And then, actually, that night, I was minding my nephew. I didn't often go. I wasn't a real disco dancer at times. Anyways, I went when I did, but didn't often. But I minded my nephew. And as you say, that's 40 years. My nephew is 40 years old today, or this year, sorry. And the families, they just absolutely need to have truth and justice for all the families. They never give up, and they never should give up. And the inquest have to correct the narrative, and the families have to have their truth and justice.
Yeah, and you know, talking to you there as one who shared a childhood with so many of those who died in the fire, it brings home clearly to those of us who were aware and watched it on our television screens, but to those who might be listening and wondering, you know, that was something way back when, before they were even born, that so many, these were real people who were impacted, lives ruined, not just in the immediate families, but beyond that, and throughout the general community as well, Ida.
Oh, yeah, it was the darkest, saddest time that you could ever envisage. And sometimes we see atrocities and things happening in the world these days, and you see them on the telly, or you see something recently, obviously in other countries, maybe England, or and you say... Do people forget that this actually, something like that happened in Dublin, on the north side of Dublin, and a lot of people don't actually know, and that is really sad. And the families, hundreds and hundreds of people that were affected, you know, in their families, the wider community, and there hasn't been any justice or any truth.
Does this bring back a memory to you?
Oh, it does, because you remember, my sister Noreen was coaching the Camogie teams, and the little ones would have knocked on the door saying, is Noreen okay?
Yeah.
Is Noreen there? You know, that sort of way. And we were saying, what went on? You know, because as we say, there was no phones, no mobile phone. We didn't even have a landline.
Yeah.
We're talking about 40 years ago.
And what about this little bit of music?
Ultravox, oh yeah, Vienna. That was the Thursday night, the Top of the Pops.
For those of you who were wondering what Ida was referencing, have a listen for about 30 seconds. Big discussion was whether Ultravox or why they weren't number one,
and then the reality of what was
most important in life, family, was brought home to you.
Well, yeah. I suppose I remember it in the context of, we were all just young people, and some of the people who died that night, they were young, fun-loving, average local girls, looking forward to going out that night. The reality was then that the fire took the lives of some
it
of
did,
those people
indeed.
That night.
And of course, what an iconic night it was on Valentine's night, when so many people go out to find love. Yes,
yeah.
We wish to all the families well. Antoinette has been just a superstar over the years,
absolutely.
And so kind to us here to always be ready to come on the programme at the shortest of notice. All right, Ida, it's interesting. We never knew that about you, Ida Cusson. We now know a lot about you. You're a
That's
woman
why they say I'm a dub, I suppose. You say
a
that
dub.
They say out here it was a dub.
I know, but sure, we welcome all refugees into Kildare.
I'm 36 years out here all the time.
You're still a dub, okay?
I'm still the same as you're always up the banner.
Yeah, okay, and I'm always a Clareman. Of course, you're always, wherever you ate your bread at first, I'll tell you, is what you'll always be. Ida, we'll move on then to the motions you brought brought to the Selbridge Leixlip Municipal District. That's been really interesting. And thanks to Bernard Caldwell, by the way, Ed, if you're wondering how we knew all of this, Bernard Caldwell, whom we'll speak to later in the programme, your councillor colleague, tipped us off about it. Now, you brought a motion to the council. You want the council to give a date for the launch of the town renewal plan, public consultations for Selbridge and Leixlip.
Yeah, and look, we still don't have the date, but the people, we as councillors and all the various people we've spoken to locally and as many different Facebook pages that ask us, when are we having, they're called the town renewal plans, it's really your public realm team getting out here to do a public consultation, to listen to the people, to what's needed, the social and physical infrastructure, and then to get on with it. So, like... The public realm team tells they're really excited. They have a new model for interaction. It's a voice-over video presentation with interactive from the public. They can't come out because of COVID. They haven't been able to. They have a small technical difficulty that they're just trying to address with this new online portal. But it is coming. There will be the consultation with residents, and the key projects will be identified, that social and physical infrastructure. And the public realm and strategic project planning team will then have to source the funding, and they will be doing it. That is their function and their job. Like, for example, the Open Renewal Development Funding that we're getting for the bridge, they'll be out there getting that kind of funding. Okay. And typical projects that are arising are the likes of the wonderful barn, and that's going to cost up to 10 million, but we're not afraid of that, apparently. And a youth outdoor team space and theatre for the Selbridge area. But the projects will come up over the public realm term renewal plan, and then the delivery has to happen.
Now, Ida, you asked the council to confirm whether licensed service providers in the municipal district must provide a brown bin service, and if it is compulsory households to use it. Was the motivation behind your question that maybe some licensed service providers are not providing the brown bin?
Yeah, and it's more, and it's only a question, so you get a very small answer and there's no debate, because that's how questions work at an MD meeting. And I wanted to probe more, and now I will put in a motion to the SPC Strategic Policy Committee, for example, because the Circular Economy Bill is very relevant at the moment, but we also have the EU, I can't remember the directive, it's the Waste Management Directive for 2015, that also says that waste has to be segregated. We're in a situation here where obviously the local authority don't do the bin services, but your licensed operators do. We use language I see like we should have and you know people should do, but the must do is actually within the legislation piece. So there are legal requirements mandating householders to segregate their food waste. I note, and I just noted myself even personally, that many households don't have brown bins. So if you're required to have one and you must have one, what are you doing with your food waste? And food waste itself is a problem, and it is it's the Household Food Waste and Bio Waste Regulations 2015. We have waste bylaws for our county as well, makes reference to the 2015 regulations. I'm going to probe that one a bit more and see what better action we can have on it.
All right. That's Councillor Ida Cusson with some of the motions she brought to the recent meeting of the Selbridge Leixlip Municipal District. Thank you so much, Ida, for that.
Thank you,
and
Sam.
Indeed your reflection on the Stardust Fire of Valentine's Night of 1981, all of 40 years ago.
Kildare Today with Clem Ryan.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Okay, we'll have loads more in the second hour, but keep your messages coming to us on the usual numbers. That's text or WhatsApp 0833 97 97 97. Email studio at kfmradio.com, or you can call us on 0458 98 999. And my fellow magpie Tommy Corrie from the Pound Road in Clarecastle tells me that today is the 23rd of June. I had lost count of that. And he says, in regards, of course, to the 23rd of June, Clem, happy Spancel Hill Day. Today is the fair day of Spancel Hill, but it's been cancelled for only the third time in its 400-year history. Maybe you might play the song for your millions of Clare fans from all over the world. Or maybe you might sing along. Sure, who knows, Tommy?
Last night, as I lay dreaming of pleasant days gone by.
Myself and Paddy Riley, then.
Me mind been bent on rambling to Ireland I did fly. I stepped on board a vision and I followed
with a will. Well, at last I came to anchor at the cross of Spancel Hill. Take it away, Paddy.
Being on the 23rd of June, the day before the fair, when Ireland's sons and daughters, friends assemble there, the young, the old, the brave and the bold, and their duty to fulfill. At the parish church at Cluny,